Synthaholics, your weekly shot of Star Trek. This is your host, David Duncan, and with me is...
Aaron O'Brien?
Yeah, and we got Holly...
Maybe?
What?
Who?
Aaron is like Aaron O'Brien?
I think.
I think like it's maybe? Me?
I never know.
Who's that lady voice? Who's that lady?
She's a devil lady. In a blue dress.
All right.
I have blue pajamas on. All right, so,
blue dress. Well,
hello,
hey, guys.
Holly.
We're in the Halloween season.
Yes.
Last week, we tried to warm things up with some Event Horizon.
Yes.
And this week, we're back onto Star Trek.
Yes.
And our Event Horizon episode, I guess, non-surprisingly, has not done stellar?
Yeah. Well, 1997 TV or movie
horror flick.
That wasn't well-received anyways.
Yeah, it wasn't. It wasn't super
so don't
well-
take it personally, you're saying?
Yeah, we're trying not to. But if you have not listened to it, and you're worried that it's a bad episode, take it from a listener, David Kish, on our Facebook group wrote this. I finally listened to this episode. It is one of my favorites. Everyone was able to shine on this one. Good job, guys and gals.
Very nice. Thank
so,
you.
I mean, like, thanks, Dave. I really appreciate that. And and it's great that he said it's one of his favorite episodes. So if you guys haven't listened to it just for the banter. If you like the show and like us. And we had Robbie Palmer from the Nerdonomicon right. Join us that time. And he told us about his 31 Days of Halloween stuff, which is still going on. He's releasing a new piece yep. of content on his channel every single day, and I've been on two of them.
And almost by the time the show comes out, he'll be almost finished.
Oh, he'll be almost done, yes.
So yeah. Happy Halloween, people, because we know we're getting real close.
Yeah, we started with something scary last week.
And now it's going to be even scarier.
But oh, so terrifying.
I blocked it out.
Yes, he's so terrified. He's put it out of his mind.
I'm scared of cats.
Turn back, David.
I really wish she would have turned to the cat lady from the Gary 7 episode, because she was hot.
You know...
This one wasn't as good.
Oh, I...
She was like, eh.
I think you're being too mean.
I am, but this is a bad episode, well, so it's not her fault.
Yeah, it's not her fault for sure. We have a little Star Trek news. We have the came out last week that the head writer for Rick and Morty is creating a new Star Trek animated series. It's going to be Star Trek: The Lower Decks, and it's going to be sort of a half-hour sitcom that has a supporting crew of one of Starfleet's least important ships. So it's kind of be like not the B team, the C team.
I wonder if it's going to be on a Saladin. That would be kind of funny.
It would be funny. It would be great.
Poor Guy Davis and poor us for wanting to yeah. do a Saladin comic.
Exactly.
But it would be great to see like a different starship and see what they can do with it. Although I am a little bit personally worried because Lower Decks is one of my favorite episodes of Next Gen. It's so well done and it's like it really catches you.
Yeah, but
in the feels, and I just feel like them calling a show Lower Decks and making it a comedy is kind of like stepping on the namesake a little bit.
Oh, come on. It's just going to be because it's a bunch of guys and gals that don't know what the hell. That's the one thing I loved about the Lower Decks. Not just, I mean, it was a great story, but you see these ensigns that, you know, you see the commanders and the lieutenants, but they don't know what the hell's going on. They're just like giving orders like, I guess I'll go do this because that's my
right.
duty, you know. That's a great part about it, so...
Mm. Well, they said Discovery was supposed to be kind of like that, and it kind of was, but not really.
No.
I mean it wasn't enough of that, because you still follow the command staff around a whole lot, and Michael, even though she had no rank, was super involved with the command staff.
Yeah,
so, I mean
you see Lorca, yeah. but you don't know what Lorca's up to, which is good, because they kind of, you know, gave
did
you...
Did that on purpose, yeah.
Yeah, because you didn't know what he was really doing. But yeah, so we're going to get that. I don't know exactly when that's supposed to come out, but it's... Definitely going to be...
I'm wondering if it's further in development than the Picard show, because the Picard show doesn't even have a name.
No, it doesn't, yeah. But, you know...
It'll be interesting. I mean, I mean, like, I'll definitely watch it, but I'm not, like, dying to see this, you know what I mean? Especially after the train wreck that was the 70s animated series.
If they can recreate even a smidge of Rick and Morty and infuse it into Star Trek, I think it would be fascinating, and I would love to see it. I love the animated series, the original from the 70s, because it's so stupid.
But speaking of you know, Rick and Morty, like, what if Rick and Morty have a cameo on the show? Does that make them canon? I've got so many issues
so
with,
many
like,
universes, right?
That's what I'm saying. But Rick and Morty exists in every single universe.
I love Rick and Morty, too, but I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't know. I mean, with animation, you can do anything you want. And that's where I kind of...
Whoa.
They'd have to have the blessing of Star Trek, actually do
Swim.
That.
Whoever owns the Adult Swim, you know, franchise of Rick and Morty, mm-hmm. and then Star Trek CBS, they'd have to do some kind of crossover.
Oh, they sneak stuff in all the time, though.
I'm not that they couldn't have, like, them walk by, you know.
That's what I'm saying. Like, not even talk. Just showing them would make them canon.
I know.
If the show intends to be canon.
Yeah, I know. I mean, The Simpsons did that all the time. They would have, like, you know, the Flintstones in their show up
sure.
for no reason.
You know, but that's what I'm saying with, like, with Rick and Morty and Star Trek. They could do anything, and, like, it's just kind of like, how much is this going to, how much of the silly stuff is really going to be canon, or is it going to be, like, more realistically played silly? Because, like, the way, I mean, Aaron and I, like, years ago before we started the show, we were talking about doing a Star Trek comic, and, like, Lower Decks was basically, like, our idea for a comic relief.
Right.
Thing, like, with, like, you know, two Lower Decks people, engineers who had no idea what was going on, like, just bouncing stuff off each other.
Right. That was the original idea. And then Dave was like, well, maybe while we're doing that, we'll do a podcast. And then the podcast became the only thing we worked on, so.
Just took over.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. But I think it's going to be fun. I'm very excited for this. I hope it's not too... There's something with comedy that if they push too hard on the comedy aspect, like they're trying to be funny, it gets a little bit like, okay, stop, guys. Like,
if it's like the Orville, it'll be fine. Because the Orville, like, they try, but it's not like... There's still, like, a good message, and because they're based on Star Trek actual episodes. Right. So, I mean, like, it's like watching a Star Trek episode with humor thrown in. So if it's like that...
Have you watched the Matt Groening Disenchantment on Netflix?
I have not, no.
So
I have.
Have you? Did you like it? What did you think of that?
I did. I've watched it twice.
Oh, you watched the whole season twice?
Yeah.
I've heard so many different things. I've heard some people love it, some people just hate it.
See, there's some great parts to it, and sometimes I think it was a little like, I thought the comedy was a little forced. I love the characters. I just wish they would get a little more.
I've heard they try to, like, it's like Futurama, but they switched around a couple of the characters and then they put it in medieval times. And
well, it's like D&D.
There's a lot of voice from, you know, it sounds just like Futurama. And Michael, actually, he heard me watching it and he's like, are you watching Futurama again? I was like, no. But no, it is a little forced. There are a lot of episodes that are just like, yep, this is the one where I'm going to go walk the dog, and when we're back, it'll be on a new episode.
I mean, honestly, there's some awesome, like, bits that are, like, even the episodes I'm not crazy about, there are some, like, great bits on there that are hilarious or they're really funny. Mm-hmm. But that's what I hope they avoid. It's like, if you get too formulaic, the thing about Rick and Morty is, it's
so random.
It's so off the wall that anything can happen. That's what was great. That's what's great about Rick and Morty. Like, anything possibly. And, like, I don't know how you make the life of a bunch of, you know, cadets or ensigns or whatever they might be
funny
and interesting. Other than them just being, like, shit on.
And not only is this show coming, they've just two seasons from the get go.
Yeah.
Like, they've greenlit two seasons.
Wow.
So that's interesting.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
I'm anticipating a running joke, and I really hope it happens, and you guys will get it too. Because you know how when you watch, like, the original series, and there's, like, a landing party, and there's always just some random officer who gets killed, and you
didn't
know his... Okay, so I just feel like there's going to be a... Maybe not every single episode where, like, they meet someone new, and they're like... We don't need to remember his name.
Yeah.
Or like, hey, where did Jesse go?
Yeah. Like,
oh, he was on the landing party. We're not going to see him again.
Yeah, he's,
you know?
He's done. He's
like,
done. Yeah.
That would be a welcome recurring joke. But
that would be funny.
Or how about just guys that you know that you go on a landing party, there's certain things that you don't do, but there's always like that idiot that just sticks his finger into something or steps on something and then, you know, that's it.
I just wonder if this is like the least important ship because it's always stuck at space dock.
Oh.
And they're going to have to like just be like, if they're a space dock crew, that could be funny. It's just like, we're fixing the ship again. You know, like, you know, it's the same ship keeps coming back, keeps getting broke.
Right, right.
Because it'd be kind of interesting if a space dock, that way we could see more of like those new fancy space docks from Discovery era, if it's going to be a Discovery era show.
Maybe they get a like Zap Brannigan kind of captain, which would be great. God. I love Zap Brannigan.
I want Zap Brannigan.
Zap Brannigan.
Zap Brannigan.
I hope there's a one-eyed woman that he falls in love with.
So great.
Little callbacks.
I'm super excited. I know, Dave, you're not as crazy about it, but
I have some hesitations. I mean, like I mean I'm definitely gonna watch it. I don't want to see it. I'm interested to see what they're gonna do, but I'm not like dying for it. I really want to see what they're gonna do with the Picard show, what some of the other ideas are.
And this will be technically canon. I mean, I know a lot of people don't think the animated series from the 70s is canon, but they've basically
it can't be though. So much of it's like so weird. It can't be like
that's why it has to be canon because it's so weird. I love the weirdness.
But the environment suit belts.
Oh, you just like stuff, you're technology. So hung up on those environment suits. Just let it go, Dave. It was just animation to be cheap.
But if it's canon, then why do they have full spacesuits in Next Gen? Why don't they just have the belts?
I don't know. Maybe they proved that those force fields with the atmosphere around them are not efficient.
Why would Kirk be let out there?
They tried it for a little bit, and they're like, nah, that wouldn't work. That doesn't work good.
Too much of the stuff animated series is like akin to magic.
Magics of
Magus 2.
Magus 2. Oh, where they meet the devil.
They meet the devil and Spock performs black magic after drawing a pentagram on the ground.
It's awesome.
Oh, man.
So great.
I hope there's more pentagrams in the new show. New
shows. Like, let's draw more pentagrams. Oh, it's so great.
Oh,
that's
man.
So bizarre.
The Stanic Panic.
Yeah, the animated series, I don't think there's more than 20 episodes. Maybe there's 24. There's hardly enough. And they're all 20 minutes long.
But some of them feel like 3 hours long, even though they're only 22 minutes long. They are so rough to watch.
I love it. I love every minute of it. It's so terrible. It's great.
Well, I guess I'll have to do another one soon.
Yeah.
I was going to say, with the release news of the new animated series, you guys should have picked a cartoon episode to discuss this week.
We could have.
No, we're going with Halloween. So we picked Cat's Paw like 4 weeks ago.
We're going with Halloween. That's something that's going to totally kill our numbers.
Yes.
Our downloads.
Event Horizon and then Cat's Paw.
Yeah.
Two episodes and no one will listen to.
Everyone will be like, fuck those guys.
But at least it's Star Trek this week. So if they didn't listen because it wasn't Star Trek last week, hopefully they'll at least listen because it's Star Trek this week.
Well, we are talking about Cat's Paw.
Meow.
Meow. The cat was a little more ferocious than you two, I think.
Yes. Well, not in the beginning. Break all your cat jokes out right now because we are going into.
Get them out right now.
Meow.
Get it meow now.
So, Cat's Paw is season 2, episode 1. First aired October 27, 1967. That was a long time ago. So, it begins the landing party with Sulu, Scotty, and the crewman Jackson are on Pyrus 7, but they're overdue for their check-in. And when Jackson finally calls the Enterprise, he says, beam me up, beam me up, beam me up.
Do it now, do it now, do it now. And he's not a red shirt.
No, he's...
I didn't like how he was speaking to his captain.
That was very disrespectful.
That was very disrespectful. Kirk's not going to beam you up when you talk to me like that. You better say please.
If I was the captain, I would have been like, nah, bitch.
Yeah, fuck you.
Answer me.
Well, they do beam him up. And Jackson, once he gets beamed up, he falls over dead immediately. We get the great...
and then some voice echoes out of his gaping maw.
It's awesome. So it's totally...
Captain Kirk, can you hear me? And he doesn't wait for him to respond.
Yeah, like, well... So it's basically that there's a curse on the ship, and you better turn around if you don't want to keep that curse.
And then they never really bring up the curse ever again.
Well, they bring it up again with the witches.
But, yeah, sort of.
They're just trying to scare him off.
Yeah.
David, you're not remembering the episode very well.
I blocked it out.
so sad. Why are you doing that? Why are you doing that?
It's I swear I've seen this episode before, but upon rewatching it this week, it was like watching a brand new episode. I had nothing rang a bell at all.
Well, Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
It was the lump of coal.
Stop. So the curse was they must leave or they all die. So with the two crewmen are missing, Kirk obviously is not going to leave. He is going to he gets another landing party, and he gets Spock and Dr. McCoy, and they beam down to where Jackson was beamed up. And when they get there, they're in just big craggy, rocky area with lots of fog.
Are there giants with giant spears?
No, not yet.
If only.
But there are three witches, and they keep warning Kirk, you know, to leave.
This is the best part of the episode where Spock's like, their poetry is terrible.
Yeah, it is hilarious.
That is the best part of the entire episode.
When he goes, comment, and he goes, terrible poetry. He says, more useful comment. More useful comment.
best line of the entire episode right there. That was great.
Yeah,
I actually, it's funny with the original series. There often is little jokes written in, and they are pretty funny. But you just don't pick up on it all the time because it's just
because Spock is so deadpan.
Yeah,
usually.
He's very deadpan, and Kirk just like more useful comment. But he said those, you know, they weren't there. I mean,
it wasn't real.
Yeah, it was just some kind of
just like this episode. I've already forgotten it.
And then a big wind blows them back, and as they get kind of redirected, and as they make their way through this rocky maze, they see an old, like, foreboding castle compound.
Dracula Castle.
Dracula.
I wish.
And they get the doors open, and this is where they met a black cat.
And they do say trick or treat and Halloween very specifically.
This was
episode.
Actually written for Halloween. This really was written for Halloween. So, I mean, like I said, it was released on November 26th. So
they missed Halloween by a month.
I mean, I'm sorry. Did I say November? I mean, October 26th.
Okay. I
realized now that I said November, but it was October. I'm sorry. But anyway,
that makes more sense.
But it was written to be a Halloween episode.
That's cool.
Right? So, yes, so as they enter into the castle...
they fall to the floor.
They fall into a big cutout in the floor, which is pretty hilarious. And they're all knocked
out. It was
pretty funny. And then they find themselves chained to a dungeon wall.
So maybe think of Get Smart, because Get Smart in that show, he's always getting chained up to something and he uses inflatable cuffs to get out of them.
They need more of those gimmicks.
Exactly.
This is where Scotty and Sulu show up.
But they're zombies.
Mindless zombies just walking with their phaser. And Sulu does respond a little bit. He says, do you remember me? Can you, you know, and he's like, So he's a little there. But they unlock them from their shackles from the dungeon and they bring them up to
King Tut.
It is King Tut from Batman. It's great.
Isn't it, though?
Yeah, it is him. I forgot that was him. It's great.
66 Batman. This is probably a set they used on the 66 Batman 2, probably.
Right. It could have been, actually. You never know. Yeah, so they're brought up, and they meet Korib.
Curious, though, if that's where they were taking him or not, because they, like, magically appeared there after Kirk turns around and socks one of them.
Yeah, right. Yeah, because
so I was like, I wonder if they were taking him somewhere else for another challenge, because he's like, we didn't anticipate to see you so soon, or something.
Right.
I don't remember what exactly he said, but...
Oh, and by the way, back up on the bridge, we get the first appearance of Ensign Chekov.
Chekov!
His hair is terrible.
It's so floofy.
It wasn't good.
No, I mean, I know Chekov's hair has never been great, because they're trying to... So Chekov...
He wanted to look like a beetle.
Yeah, they wanted him to do the Beatles or the Monkees kind of thing, because the Monkees was a big popular show at the time, and the Beatles were obviously popular.
And he was the young, new guy.
And they wanted to get a young guy and make him look that style.
They were trying to get the girl demographic for Star Trek.
Right.
Whereas Battlestar Galactica was trying to get the guy demographic, which they should already had because it's a sci-fi show.
And it was called Battlestar Galactica. Yeah. That was, whatever. That was a previous conversation before we start recording.
It may or may not be an outtake. I have no idea.
I don't know either. But anyways, and there's their chief, the assistant chief engineer, DeSalle, is there. He's a pretty straight-laced guy.
He says some stupid line, too, like...
Beans to Navy?
Navy to Beans. I was like, is he trying to say dollars to donuts, but in, like, future speak or
well,
something?
Well, Navy
like
Beans. Navy Beans is a thing.
Yeah, I just
I don't know what that meaning is. I never
no, but I mean, like it sounded to me like a dollars to donuts type.
Yes.
I don't know what that means. Like I've heard people use that expression before, but like the Navy Beans thing, it sounded like a similar expression. I didn't know if since they don't have money in the future, I wonder if they were trying to do.
Obviously, they thought that that was saying that was going to survive.
I'm just curious why that is what David remembers from this episode.
That's all he remembers.
I remember the weird things that don't make sense in King Tut.
Yes.
King
Tut. Plot details I'm super loose with.
So Chekhov is scanning, but he says that they can't get their life forms. Like the Kirk and McCoy and Spock just completely disappeared.
Disappeared.
And even when Kirk and Spock are down there, they kind of summarize that there could be some kind of shield or something keeping the scanners from...
You do know Russians invented the first screening shield, right? cloaking shield,
right? A little old lady from Leningrad.
Yeah, she invented the cloaking shield.
Yes.
And whiskey.
And whiskey. So, yeah, like Holly said, that when they were bringing Kirk and Spock and McCoy up or wherever they were taking them, Kirk obviously spins around and hits the one with the phaser. And unfortunately, they get zapped right into the main throne room of Korib with this cat. And Korib is trying to entice them with
food and jewels.
You know, and they realize that these aren't...
old-timey humans.
Yeah, they're not. First of all, they weren't scared off. They from the curse.
They show loyalty and bravery, and
they show up. Right?
They don't care about riches.
Right, they can't
it's a
be
bunch
bribed.
Of tests or something.
Right,
for some reason.
Well, I think there's. Well, we find out later what these are not from our galaxy, and these creatures, and they're from very far away.
They're
and
pigeon crab creatures.
Pigeon crab creatures.
From Andromeda Galaxy. They invented the Ro androids that we see in the iMud episode.
Oh my god. We do get a lot of extra galaxy. There's another TOS episode Rose by Any Other Name.
We don't get any of that in any other Star Trek. It's only in TOS we get people from Andromeda.
Yeah. Those Andromedans.
God damn Andromedans fucking stuff up in TOS. I hope we get some in Discovery. I want to see some Andromeda stuff.
We might, because
we don't ever get that anymore.
Well, Spock mentions that there have been mapping expeditions to Pyrus 7 before and that they've never seen life forms here. And Korib was like, well, we're not native to this world.
It doesn't happen, y'all. It doesn't happen.
Every time he answers a sentence, he goes, oh my god, that would make this episode so much better.
I've got your best ideas.
Oh, so good. During this time, the cat is talking.
Meow, meow. Meow, 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 meow.
So the cat leaves, and then this week Sylvia shows up. And she's that, like, witch-looking goth girl.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah, something like that.
She's kind of, like, well, 60s goth.
Oh.
Yeah.
Less makeup.
Less makeup, more black, more flowing dresses. You know, that
lace.
I was totally into it.
Oh, she had a great dress. That was a cool dress. Yeah. Actually, I liked her hair too. It was really cool.
Except when she went blonde, that was disturbing.
That was just fun. She was just having fun.
It hurt my eyes a little bit. I was like, what?
I was thinking about those changes that she was making.
They hurt my head.
I think that she was probably like, now you're going to dress in this outfit. She's like, okay.
At first, I thought they changed actresses. Then I just realized it was a giant wig, and I was like, oh, that's so weird. Go back. go back.
The swinging 60s. Yeah, baby.
Yeah.
Do I make you horny?
If only William Shatner had the giant shag carpet for chest hair.
Yeah, for that Austin Powers did.
Yeah, that'd be great. Chest toupee.
So Sylvia tells Kirk that she can read and control men's mind, and that's basically that Sulu and Scotty aren't mindless zombies. They're just under their control, and they can easily control them.
And earlier, just to back up, he was saying, like, there's, like, all these dungeons and mumbo-jumbo. And I was like, oh, you should say Dungeons and Dragons. But then I looked it up. Dungeons and Dragons wasn't invented yet.
No.
So you couldn't have said Dungeons and Dragons. I was like, aw.
We're, like, close.
6 years before
Dungeons and
Dragons?
Yeah, 6 years before.
It was, like, 70-something.
Before Gary Gygax came up with the idea, so.
Yeah, but I was just like, oh, Dungeons & Dragons, say it. And then I looked it up and was like, oh, Dungeons & Dragons wasn't invented yet. If it had been, they probably might have said it. I don't know, just to be funny.
No, it would have been cool. Or it would have been cool if that's where Gary Gygax came.
Yeah, that would have been fun.
But, so, like I said, she's basically saying that they have something called sympathetic magic, where they can, that's how they killed Jackson. She made, like, basically a voodoo doll of him.
Voodoo magic? We done got in New Orleans.
The voodoo.
I didn't really understand it, because the way she described it, she was just like, oh, well, I considered him that he was a being, and then he was dead, and then he was dead. And I was like, what?
You can't kill a man with thoughts. I need my brain.
Pretty sure that's verbatim to the episode, actually. But yeah, I didn't really understand. Aaron, can you explain that?
Sympathetic magic?
I don't get it.
It's when you feel sad for somebody.
No. I don't get how the thought, how that, I don't get how that makes sense.
Well, I mean, obviously these are alien creatures and they have, like, telepathic abilities that are far more powerful. I mean,
Spock.
Yes, more than the magic elf that's living on the Enterprise.
They can send his Katra for miles and miles away, apparently, but he doesn't do that in this end.
But sympathetic magic is obviously something that we have today that we are, you know, not technically real. But
I was like,
last podcast in the magic, like their magic, magical thinking.
But it's the idea that, you know, same thing with voodoo. Is that if you have a doll and that's fashioned after someone and you use it to...
And you need some possession of theirs or something from their person.
Right, and you can use that to kind of link that and get the spirits to do your bidding. I don't know. I don't believe in it, but whatever.
Whatever floats your boat.
But if you do believe in it, write us at synthaholics@yahoo.com.
Yeah, that'd be great. We'd love to hear about it.
To hear about that, yeah.
But at that one point... Kirk jumps Scott and takes his phaser, and this is where Sylvia brings a little model of the Enterprise and says, "I'm going to burn your ship up," and she puts it over the candle, and
a very sweaty Chekhov.
Yeah, everyone's sweaty, even Uhura is sweaty, and they call and they call him up, and she says, "We're jumping up, you know, it's the heat is unbearable,
rising."
Heat is rising.
Let's take off all
like
your clothes.
It is in 5 minutes or something crazy.
What? What'd you say?
It rose like 60 degrees in like 5 minutes or something.
Yeah, could you imagine? It'd probably be like in hundreds right away.
Yeah.
I always often wondered how warm a spaceship like the Enterprise actually is.
I would imagine it'd be cooler than normal because it...
Space is freezing.
That's what I'm saying. It would probably run cool just because, I mean, like, it'd probably be average, like, 50, 60 degrees. That's probably why they wear long sleeves.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say one thing, but I'm going to say two things. So the first thing I want to
say three things.
Is
I dare you.
What did you want me to say?
Say three things.
I dare you.
Well, the first thing is it's probably up to the captain, you know? Like,
he controls the thermostat. He's like a dad or mom.
He's the dad of the
you
ship.
You don't touch this thermostat!
It's behind a lock and key and like a 16-digit security encryption code.
When you pay the bills around here...
You can touch the thermostat.
When you become captain of your own ship, you confront the thermostat.
It's totally a dad thing or mom thing.
When you get your own house, you get the thermostat. In my house, I run the thermostat.
Right.
Okay, second thing.
But the second thing is, you have to kind of look at the different series and what the crew is wearing, because like in TOS, like the women are wearing very short skirts.
It doesn't matter. So the men are wearing long clothes.
But then also the men are all covered like head to toe.
Yeah.
So it's anyone's guess in that, if you think about it that way.
And the third thing.
What's the third thing?
Oh, I have to come up with a third thing?
Yes.
Yeah, I dared you. I'm joking. Mm-hmm.
You don't have to.
Meow.
But
meow.
That's a good.
That counts.
That's an acceptable third thing.
Okay.
Anyway,
animal noises.
Yes.
That should be the subtitle for this episode.
Thank you for tuning in, Synthaholics, or shall we call it animal noises?
Meow.
Welcome to animal noises.
What does a camel make?
I'm cool. I'm smoking.
I'm smoking, Joe.
Yeah. No.
Joe cool.
Want to ride my humps? My lovely camel humps.
Oh, check him out. All right.
I got a camel bra.
So the Enterprise is burning up. And then Kirk grabs Sylvie's arm and removes the model of the Enterprise away from the flame. And the Enterprise is saved from danger. I did like Kirk said, we'll handle it from down here.
Right.
He's like, and I wonder if like Chekhov and DeSalle and Uhura were like, how is the hell are you going to do that?
I just liked how he
embraces the voodoo magic.
What?
He embraces voodoo?
Immediately, because he totally believes in it.
Just like when he goes back to the dungeon, like he just like dismisses himself. Like he doesn't even like wait. He just like starts to leave. He's like, yeah, I'm going to handle this.
Yeah, I'll handle it. Don't worry about it. And then so like I said, he saves the Enterprise from burning up and they're going to take McCoy. I don't know what that is.
Might be the cat. Try to get in.
The cat's paw. What is that from? Oh, I know what that's from. That's from that guy from New York City that does all that weird shit. I'll look him up later.
Okay.
Yeah,
you'll
like him if you see him. It's hilarious, but anyways, moving on. So McCoy is told to remain back with Sylvia, and he's going to basically probe his mind, and then they send Kirk and Spock back to the dungeon.
To the dungeon.
I thought that this was like a really good part of the episode. Like I thought this was the best part of the episode is when they're actually discussing and trying to figure out what is actually going on.
Yeah. And there's like, you know, here are all these old symbolisms of, you know, fear and nightmares of humans. And Spock, it's kind of funny because Spock is totally foreign to him. He doesn't really, it's not what he grew up with. So he doesn't understand.
Michael Berman.
He doesn't understand trick or treating.
Michael Berman never told him about
it. Never told him about trick or treating.
He never told him about trick or treating.
Which is why Spock never told anyone about Michael Burnham.
That's right.
He was mad about the no trick or treating thing.
Yes, that's right. Cybok would have told him.
Yeah,
Cybok.
That was too busy smoking weed and riding space horses. And getting laid.
Smoking that green nug. That Vulcan nug.
Hanging with Henry Zebrowski.
Smoking the nug.
I want to see this. Henry Zebrowski and Cybok smoking.
Oh, that'd be great.
If they bring Cybok back, I want Henry Zebrowski to have a cameo.
That would be great.
Have Henry Zebrowski be Cybok.
Let's work on that campaign.
Yeah.
Henry for Cybok.
So then McCoy does return. He's been taken over like a zombie, like Sulu and McCoy. And even Kirk gets a little feels bad. He goes, oh, no, not you. Not you, Bones. So
not the second part of my Trinity.
Back in the throne room, Sylvie and Korib are arguing. Sylvia likes these new sensations.
I like getting horny.
She's like,
I've never been there before.
I'm usually just this weird crab bird.
Pigeon thing.
Oh,
But now I have lady parts.
I have lady parts, and you have man parts, but Korob, you're all flabby man parts, and I don't like those flabby parts.
Kirk's man parts are probably pristine because he's a captain.
He could be anything he wanted, okay?
You know, that's the thing.
He's Korob, King Tut.
He was King Tut.
He wanted to be comfy.
King Tut, Batman King Tut is pretty awesome. I'm not going to lie.
Well, it's because Adam West is like with Robin inside a building with machetes cutting through potted plants like it's a jungle. It is absolutely horribly and stupid and it's pretty funny.
It's the best.
King Tut.
King Tut. It's awesome.
that episode's more memorable than this one.
Stop, Dave.
Apparently.
Actually, King Tut shows up a couple times in the Batman 66. You know.
Usually, most of them do show up a couple times.
Anyways, Korob's saying, the original plan was not for us to do that. We could have reached out to these people. They could be our friends. And, you know, we have a duty to the old ones. And she's like, I don't have any of that duty. I can do whatever I want.
I'm horny now. Fuck everything else.
Right. So Korob stomps off. And Kirk is brought to Sylvia's presence, and this is where she becomes kind of infatuated with him. And
he plays along.
He starts basically realizes that she's into him, and they puts the moves on her, and he gets her to reveal some of her plan, or not plan, but how they get their power. This thing called the transmuter. It's a mechanism that actually somehow uses their thoughts and makes it into reality.
Mm-hmm.
But then she realizes that he's just using her.
You don't really want me. Even though I changed into 6 different women for you, I could be anything you want. Kirk's like, you didn't go green.
You didn't go green. You didn't turn into me.
It wasn't. Yeah. He didn't turn into William Shatner.
William Shatner.
That's the most thing that I'm excited for.
Oh, and during this time, she gets pissed off and sends him away. And up on the Enterprise, they have a shield put around them.
Oh, yeah, they get a shield. And this is where we get the military beans that he can
bitch
put a dent into it.
Navy to beans that they could put a dent on it. So they're working on trying to put a hole on it. And Korob even says later on that they would have figured it out.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I like him.
That's a smart second chief engineer. We don't get enough of him.
Yeah, I think he only shows up twice in all TOS, so. He's there twice, but that's about it.
Poor guy.
Korob later goes down to the dungeon and rescues Kirk and Spock. And
she's gone mad.
Says that he's...
She's got space horniness. We can't stop it.
Did you mention that he was like peeping Tom?
He was. He was watching. He was watching.
Like,
you know,
macking on each other?
Yeah. you do realize that maybe Korob had like some kind of relationship with Sylvia at one point, but she's...
I don't know. They didn't. Their species doesn't dance with sensations. They don't have feelings. They're like...
I got a new
sensation. I don't understand
sensation.
Their motives. What?
Evan's got a new sensation.
In excess song. Never mind.
You clicked out and I didn't hear you. So I was like, what did you say?
So Korob is obviously, like Dave said, you have the space horniness madness. So we got to get out of here.
We can't do it anymore. You got to run. I can't fix her. I can't control her anymore. My Willy doesn't do it for her.
She doesn't do it for her anymore. She needs someone else's Willy.
She needs some 2 Willy.
It's not always about Willy, okay?
3 Willy.
Oh, she wants her butt licked.
Oh, boy.
What did you just say?
That's a new sensation.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Meow.
Meow. My pussy.
From stem to stern.
Oh, my God. All right. Awful. Here we go.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. I gave it to you. There you go. So Korob, like I said, gets Kirk and Spock out of jail. And this is where Sylvia...
Turns into a giant black cat.
Turns into a giant black cat and starts chasing them down the hall.
So much pussy.
So much pussy chasing them. They're the sexiest men in the universe.
It's got to be like at least a couple tons of pussy right there. So much pussy that can't even fit through the door.
That's great.
That's our light creature.
Yes. Not when they're that big. That was bigger than an elephant.
Not when they're 20 feet tall.
And their whiskers can't even fit through the door.
can't even put her arms through the door.
No.
So,
she's a plus size pussy.
Well, I think she's mad, and that's why she got big. It's the transmuter one. Was stolen or whatever.
Yeah, Korob's got the transmuter.
But then he gets the door.
He runs to the door with the transmuter.
He tries to hold it shut, but...
You shall not pass!
He didn't have the Gandalf staff, though.
He should have changed into Gandalf. Maybe he would have done it.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, that giant pussy knocked that door down.
Yes.
And crushed Korob.
Korob's like, save yourself!
Save yourself!
What I didn't understand was they can change their form to whatever they so desire. Why didn't he just make himself really, really skinny?
Why didn't you? Same thing with her. Like, she's like behind the door. She can't get through. Like, why didn't you make yourself into something smaller?
And why didn't.
Touché.
Like a Pachycephalosaurus. You've got the beating power with your head and you're small enough to fit through the door instead of a giant pussy.
Or you just shrink a little bit and get through the door.
That's also a possibility.
There's a lot of things you could have done. I don't really understand. That really falls apart right there.
This episode falls apart.
No, I could go up to about that point.
Silence?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Common sense kind of went out the window at this point.
So Kirk goes after Korob's been crushed. He does try to save him, but then he's like, go, leave me.
Save yourself.
And then he grabs the wand, which is the transmuter.
Mm-hmm.
And Spock is already up on that. He lifted him up through the hole out of the dungeon that they originally fell through.
Mm-hmm. That's the only way back up there.
Apparently. And Kirk gets back up, and then they're attacked by their own men, by Sulu and Scott and
Bones.
McCoy. Yeah, mm-hmm. And they have a little fight. It's fun. He knocks out McCoy a couple times, so he's, you know, gets some...
Yeah, McCoy doesn't usually get into tussles very often.
No, it's pretty funny. And actually, there's some little funny... It's Sulu doing the karate.
Oh, that was so racist and awful.
Wasn't Takai played in the, I'm thinking the wrong person. Never mind.
Like, he did not look like he knew how to do it at all.
No.
He was untrained, and they're like, you're Asian, you can do karate, just do karate. Like, do it like karate. And, like, that's probably what they had to have done behind the scenes, I'm sure. And it looks so awful.
I mean, so maybe, it is racist, but if you think about it, it was a show that had a bunch of diverse people on it that didn't get proper representation prior. And so they get this Asian guy and they're like, yeah, we're going to have you on and you're going to be really into your heritage and you're going to know martial arts because you're Asian. Like, I guess at the time, maybe it wasn't meant to be racist.
I don't think
it definitely was.
I don't think it was meant to be racist, but in 2000...
Hindsight's 2020.
In 2000s,
everything's,
you know,
racist. 2018,
19 land, it's...
Well, I mean, like, even in the year, like, 1999 and, like, the early 2000s, you could tell jokes then that you can't tell now because the political correctness has gotten way more stringent.
Crazy, yeah, you can't say things.
You gotta find the right people to hang out with.
Yeah. Yeah. Then you can be yourself, like us.
Yes.
We can say whatever we want.
Because we have our own podcast. We own the microphones here. So, anyways, knocks them out. And obviously, Kirk realizes that, Sylvia takes Kirk aside and tries to say, you know, you can still have anything you want. I could teach you all these things.
Spock's like, don't let her touch your wand.
Don't touch the wand.
He's like, he covers his crotch. He's like, don't touch it. It'll fall off.
Not that one, you idiot.
Oh, shit. That would have been funny.
This is what the cartoon is going to be, basically.
Yeah. It should be this podcast.
Lots of dicky. Oh, sweet. Yeah, hopefully they'll hire us.
No, they won't.
Yeah, there you go.
Shit. I want a Star Trek paycheck. That'd be great.
And finally, she threatens, because she wants the transmuter back, she threatens Kirk with a phaser, and Kirk acts like he's going to give her the wand, and he slams against the table.
I was so excited.
And he easily destroys the transmuter, and everything vanishes, and they're back in the craggy rock area with the fog, and there you have the two aliens that are made out of bird parts.
Crab parts.
Crab parts.
And, cat parts.
And pipe cleaner.
And they're dying.
And they're dying.
Why are they dying? I don't understand that.
They need the transmuter to survive.
Yeah. And
I guess that's right.
And when they don't even pick them up and never study them. They just beam up and they're like, fuck those guys.
I thought that was weird.
It's like, don't you want to know about
which one was King Tut? We'll beam that one up.
I liked him.
I think they couldn't tell, so that's why they just left him there. We don't want to accidentally beam up Sylvia.
Check between the legs.
Probably the
dead
one.
One has the vagina, one has the penis.
But they could be switched when they're in the original form, though. Right. You don't know.
Actually, I was thinking they may not have genders.
I don't think they did. I think she just took on the female persona, and then Sylvia right. liked it. Korob was like, oh, I got this dick and balls. It sucks.
I got the transmuter and all I got for was dick and balls.
What the fuck?
They weren't even big either. I'm like, what the fuck?
And I got that. The wand. And
got stuck with a micro penis.
And somebody's like, you know, you could change that anytime you want.
It's like, really?
Okay.
But, oh, now I've got a third leg.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of wand.
Wand.
This is not going to be dirty, I promise.
Oh, man, I was hoping it would be, though.
What?
No. I thought I was hoping it would be, but yeah.
Moving on.
I told this to David earlier.
It was dirty.
It was not dirty.
She talks dirty to me sometimes.
So before, when they get up out of the dungeon and they are fighting their crewmates, they defeat them all, and Kirk has to go back and pick up the wand. And so he goes back, he grabs the wand, and he has to jump over the hole.
Yeah.
But he, like, leapt over the hole, and he, like, had the wand in one hand, and he leapt. And I just really wanted him to, like, just be in a tutu, because he looked like a little princess.
Shatner probably would have loved that.
Who's that lady?
And I laughed out loud, and I was like, oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, you did tell me that earlier.
I did tell you that earlier.
Yeah, that is.
Did I tell you a dirty joke earlier?
But no, that was dirty. You went Shatner to cross dress. It's kind of dirty.
It's not dirty. No.
Well, yeah, that was a silly. It's a silly episode. Dave, Cat's paw. Reflections.
It's just not very good. I mean, like, there's a couple really great, funny things that happen, but they're like. Just watch 5 minutes and wait for that Spock joke. That's like, to me, that was like my favorite part of the episode. Mm-hmm. To me, this episode's super forgettable. Like, I mean, I know Aaron, like, we've kind of had like some episodes this month where Aaron really hated them and I kind of liked them. And now it's my turn to kind of hate it and Aaron really likes it. I don't know. I don't have a lot to say about this episode. It just, like, cause I kind of said it already. Like, in the episode, I was like, I know I must have seen this growing up because as my biggest fan of Star Trek, my dad was. Maybe he just never played it because he hated this episode too. I don't know, but it was like a brand new episode to me, and it was a brand new terrible episode. I was like, why? Why is this so bad? I don't remember any of this. It's, I don't know, just largely forgettable. I don't know. Aaron or Holly, who wants to go next? I really don't have a lot to say about
Holly,
this.
Holly, after seeing this episode, what did you think after
watching? That's all I have to say about this.
I didn't think it was bad. Granted, the witches, the image of the witches was bad. Hmm. I mean, it wasn't the worst thing I've ever seen as far as, like, computer-generated, whether it was, I don't know how they did it, but it wasn't terrible. It wasn't the worst graphic or, sorry, that's the wrong word.
Yeah, special effects that they did.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It wasn't the worst special effects there, but it was, they were grotesque, and they were supposed to be, mm-hmm. And it just wasn't, you know, when I was listening to them, I got the impression that they were kind of egging them on, but then they were like, go away, and I was like, okay, well, that didn't make a lot of sense, but other than them, I thought it was good. I thought it was thought-provoking. It made the characters consider what was going on more than just kind of like headlong running in to fix things.
Right.
And it was a species that they hadn't encountered before, so they really had to consider what they were going to do, and they didn't have time to do that because they were hostages and blah, 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 and cats and...
cats. And transmuters and...
I just like if they went a little bit more into their backstory, maybe it would have made more sense because everything was super, everything was so cryptic, it didn't matter to me. You know what I mean? Like they kept talking like in secret to each other, and it's just like none of this means anything.
Allow you to get super invested in the episode, and I get that.
And that's why I feel like it's mad because it like nothing really like everything was so cryptic. There was no like really good, no good lore to latch onto or anything to be like, oh, that's a fantastic addition to Star Trek. This is good lore. Everything was too cryptic to matter.
I'm sure that the main takeaway from this episode is supposed to be
Halloween.
I don't think so. I think it's supposed to be loyalty and bravery and what you're willing to do for the people that you care about. So because
freedom.
They
kinda,
freedom. They talk about it a little bit, and that was really. I think the loyalty and the bravery were the only things that really stopped the two aliens. What are they called?
I don't think they gave a race name.
They didn't. Yeah. Okay, I didn't think so either. It was really that stood them up. They were like, oh crap. Okay, we got to try something else because this is clearly not working.
Yeah.
So I thought that was maybe the point of the episode, even though they didn't get to it very quickly or in a very grand way, so it didn't really stick. But I didn't think it was a terrible episode. Does that make sense?
It's more of an exposition episode, just a, you know, just some weird shit that happens to the crew.
Yeah,
and uh-huh. You know, and they have to kind of figure it out.
So what's your big takeaways? What'd you think of it? You actually picked this episode.
I did pick this episode, but I only picked it because it's Halloween.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this episode for, you know, almost 3 years now. So
kind of like Threshold, but more you, because I was like, you bring up Catspaw. I'm like, I don't remember this episode.
I only brought up Catspaw for Halloween because it is obviously a very Halloween.
And they reference it.
Yeah, it's supposed to be.
And they reference Trick or Treat, too.
Mm-hmm. That's the only reason I really picked it. I don't think this is a great episode by any stretch of the imagination. It's fun. It's silliness, and it's just a romp of, you know, a space adventure where you're thrown into something that shouldn't be there. Like, I think even, like McCoy said, is it possible that parallel Earth would have evolved? And even Kirk is kind of dismissed to that. He's like, I don't think so. I mean,
they run into parallel Earth.
Yeah, the Miri episode is where they run into a parallel. Well, and then the gangster.
That's what I'm saying. They run into multiple parallel Earths.
And then the Nazi planet. There's so many parallel Earths.
And Kirk's like, what are you talking about parallel Earths? There's no parallel Earths. Like,
what about
the parallel Earths you run into?
Fuck you, McCoy. Your parallel Earth theory.
There's only been a six of McCoy. How many of them can there be?
I liked the alien idea of, and like I said, there's another episode, I think it's third season, it's called A Rose by Any Other Name, or I believe that's the name of the title. It's the same idea. These aliens come from a different galaxy, and they don't know anything about, they take a manifestation of human form, and then they're like entranced with the sensation of being human.
But these aliens seem like they had some kind of rudimentary knowledge of, like, ancient Earth.
Yes.
Like, because they were trying to appeal to the, like, but it old could be Earth like, morals or something
But
like
it
that.
Could be, like, Trelane from Squire of Gathos episode, where he's only got information from, you know, 1700s or 1800s, whenever he got that information. So maybe they only got information from Earth from, you know, centuries ago or something to that nature.
Yeah.
Or maybe they just...
Transylvania.
But they didn't even explain why they were studying humans.
No, like they didn't explain anything, which is why...
And why they'd be on a deserted planet to do so.
Maybe they scanned the minds of the people of the Enterprise and figured out all the stuff that they're scared of, like all the nightmarish stuff that, you know, we are susceptible to, you know, old dungeons.
Or they just downloaded the book library and read the first couple books they found from,
and
like, the 16th Levain, century.
Satanic Bible or whatever he did, you know, for Satanism.
Some Aleister Crowley.
Yeah, Aleister Crowley, and the Korob's like, I'll take on that persona. I don't know. I liked it just for that. I like the whole witchcraft thing, meeting science, and they're like, you know... even there's, you know, Sylvia's like, you know, I could teach you what we're doing and stuff like that. And Kirk's like, yeah, fuck you.
Even though I can't go back.
But
she wanted his become.
But yeah, I just like the idea of this episode of, you know me, I love.
You like the really bizarre stuff.
I love bizarre shit. If it's a weirder, the better.
Two girls, one cup.
I don't like that.
That's your limit?
That's gross as fuck. No, but I just like weird shit. And if you think about it, if you were a space explorer and, you know, if you're in a Star Trek universe or any standard sci-fi universe, you're going to find some weird shit. And it's going to happen more often than not.
Yeah.
And I think it would be actually pretty hilarious most of the time, you know, all the stuff that you've run into.
I mean, the aliens are pretty alien, like some of the most alien things probably in TOS, probably.
Yeah. I mean, other than pure energy, which we see often.
Oh, yeah. Just light filters.
Yeah. You know.
I'm curious. Yeah. I'm curious what they looked like before it was remastered.
That's exactly what they look like, Holly. And they didn't really change. I think they did some little, maybe a little stuff, but to them. But I don't think they did much of them. That's exactly what they look like. They look so fucking weird. Even when I was a kid, I was like, it's fucking weird.
I don't know. They just like the type of special effects. Like, you know how you can tell when one thing is computer generated out of a whole bunch of things.
Mm-hmm.
They had like Cthulhu-like tentacle mouths, and they were just a completely different type of
computer-generated. I agree. And they even mentioned, when you say Cthulhu, they mentioned the old ones, which is mm-hmm. very much
Cthulhu. Oh, they did.
Yes.
That's right, yeah.
They mentioned the old ones, so that's
maybe they're Lovecraftian.
Yeah, they're Lovecraftian aliens. No,
Cthulhu's a lot smaller than I thought he'd be.
No, but
more fluffy.
But aliens... I'm sorry, not aliens, but those aliens were, I mean, they might have redid them for that, you know, for that scene, but they were pretty much weird looking like you saw. So they didn't change much. Because I grew up with the, you know, before it was remastered. So the only saving thing about all these episodes we see now is that the Enterprise actually looks cool. And we don't see like a cheesy.
I'm looking at a bunch of pictures right now. I can't tell which one's animated and which one's like the original. I'm looking at a bunch of different pictures. They look pretty much the same.
Oh, of the creature?
Yeah.
They
don't look that much. The only thing I remember is that this looked a little more vibrant and a little clearer. Because when the original one, I remember there was obviously there was like a fog or smoke around them. And it was a little more hard to see. But you did see them. But I still remember as
it's
a kid.
It's probably the original. Yeah, where it's like it's more fuzzy. It's kind of harder to see them. Yeah. And then this is more vibrant.
Yes.
But it could just be the HD remaster too. Because, I mean, remastering from standard to HD is a huge difference. Because, I mean, I remember, I mean, this isn't Star Trek related. This is just transfer related. But when I watched Monty Python and the Holy Grail on VHS, and then when I watched it on DVD for the first time, it was remastered. It looked like a completely different movie.
Right.
Like, there was colors that never were there in the original, like, VHS version. It was, like, so gray and grainy and dark.
Right.
And then when they remastered it, it was like there was, like, vibrant blues and greens and purples and all sorts of different colors. And so it could just be the remaster transfer that made it brighter.
True.
Because it's just, I mean, it's huge what that can do whenever you remaster original footage and then transfer it to a different medium that allows for better clarity.
Very true. And but I don't know exactly if they redid that scene itself, but they were weird looking. So, and like I said, it seemed very, like, I do remember distinctly thinking that was unique at that time because they were so weird looking. They're super tiny, you know, so it was, you know, they're by Kirk's feet, you know, mm-hmm. basically could step on them.
He should have.
The other thing I remember.
Take this, Sylvia.
Sylvia.
Experience this.
Yeah. The other thing I do remember is those witches. I had no fucking clue what they were saying when I was a kid. I couldn't make out heads or tails because they were like, and it goes on for like 2 or 3 minutes.
It's way too long.
And you're just like, can you just get to the point? So
bad poetry. That was the point. The point is the punchline from Spock.
Yeah. But, a fun episode. You know what it is? It's Halloween. I think Halloween might be one of my favorite holidays. Just, it's so fun. I don't like really dressing up, but I just like the feel of everything, you know?
Leaves are changing colors.
Spooktacular.
Spooktacular.
There's candy corn on all the store shelves.
I don't know if I like that, but I do like, I do like all the, just the funness of it, you know? And, you know, this is reflective of it. I like it. It's fun. Is anybody dressing up for Halloween?
Nope.
Come on, Dave.
Come on, Aaron. You just said you don't dress up.
Don't dress up. I do dress up.
I made my for last year at Holly's Halloween party that I was invited to, I didn't dress up. I wore a homemade shirt.
Cloth.
Yeah, no, it was a white shirt. I wrote 404 costume not found, 404 error costume not found.
Nice.
And I draped an Ethernet cord around my neck.
There you go.
That was my costume.
Holly, anything for you?
I wish.
I know you guys just moved, so you're probably still.
Yeah, I just don't have any friends here yet. I thought it would be a great idea if I could convince Michael to, like, go to a club in L.A. or San Diego that did, like, a Halloween party. But it's expensive to live here, and we're broke. So
yep.
I'm going to probably look at all of the costumes that I have made and purchased, and I might dress up and not go anywhere.
Just dress up on Halloween.
Just for fun.
Well, that's we might pass out candy, but because of the neighborhood we live in, we live in a military community, and a lot of the kids all go to the same areas every year because it's just safer for everyone to be able to watch their kids and stuff.
Sure.
And we live on a hill, so every cul-de-sac is a tier above, and it's just a lot of walking. So I hear that we don't get a lot of trick-or-treaters on our road, but we might sit out and pass out candy anyway.
I do have some costumes. I have bought a few costumes for the kids. The only thing is, if it's really cold out, I might not do it.
Yeah?
Yeah. I've got like a specter kind of ghost costume and stuff like that. You know, it's just a big cloak and mask and stuff like that. But, you know, I have fun with the kids taking them out trick-or-treating and stuff like that.
So. I was going to say, your kids go out?
Oh, yeah.
Do you guys like creepy yard displays and stuff?
You know, we have some stuff that's more cutesy. I know my son wants to get into the more macabre, but my daughter's not into it. So.
Well, my...
There's a big dragon, a skeleton dragon in like a yard in my neighborhood, which I kind of like, but I wouldn't want to do anything too crazy. That's just too much work. I'm really, I don't care enough.
It's different when you got kids. You want to do stuff for them.
But like the big skeleton of a dragon, that's kind of cool. I like dragons. So.
Well, it might be cool if you took your son to my old house on Grand Island, because my neighbor used to decorate his yard like crazy, and I think I mentioned it before, but I don't remember.
Just go to your old house where you used to live, where we podcasted from. Just knock on the door and say, hey.
No, not over there. No, not over there. No, but
I'm the ghost of Holly.
She was a man before she transitioned.
He builds this amazing thing every year, and every year it's slightly different. So he's got like a graveyard in his front yard, and he's got things hung in his trees and on top of his house, and he's got like floating ghosts carrying a casket, and like he makes it really creepy, and like all the way down his driveway to his garage where you have to go get the candy, it's like all decked out and creepy, and I don't know, that might be fun.
I respect people that put that much work into stuff like that. I don't have the time to do it.
I don't have the time and or the patience.
That's why you should take your kids to it and be like, appreciate this great work that I'll never do, but it's great.
There's a couple houses around the neighborhoods that we do go, and one guy has actually got his own private radio station, and you go and you tune it to that radio station,
and then you can it plays a song
and he has the lights, flashing lights, he has the lights set to that, so that's pretty impressive.
That's pretty intense. Yeah. I've seen those online on YouTube, and they do Christmas ones too, which are pretty interesting.
Yes,
too.
Exactly. So he does, like we went to one, and he has like, you know, Michael Jackson's Thriller, and they have you know, Ghostbusters, and a bunch of, you know, Somebody's Watching Me and stuff like that. So I mean, it's fun. So it's fun stuff. But
baby, it's cold outside.
Not yet. A couple more months.
Yeah. Not yet.
We're getting.
No, it. I like.
It won't ever be where Holly lives, though.
Yeah.
It's baby, I'm sweating outside.
All the time.
All the time.
And inside.
We don't have air conditioner.
I still think that's cruel and unusual.
Cruel and unusual.
You're not in boot camp anymore. God damn it! Give us some comfort.
I'm a civilian.
Exactly. It's like they're treating you like you're in boot camp, though. No air conditioning. It's pretty crappy.
I'm sure that the barracks have AC in I'm sure they do.
That's cruel and unusual that you don't get called, AC.
Yeah, basically. But no, I do. I like Halloween, but I don't. Halloween's kind of a
contradictory
holiday. Well, I don't think contradictory holiday is a proper sentence. Well, there's contradict. Yeah, I can't even think right now.
How do you mean?
I just mean, like, you know, Halloween for so many different people is so many different things. Some people, it is, you know, Wicca, witch, pagan thing. Other people, it's like anti-Christian, anti-biblical stuff. And then other people, it's just like, let's dress up and get candy.
Well, that's,
and I fall more into that. Let's dress up and get candy.
Well, the anti-biblical is how I was raised, because I've never trick-or-treated in my entire life. We had Reformation Day parties instead of Halloween, where we got to dress up as Christians from different time periods, and sometimes there would be someone who was a pope, and then the pope was the bad guy of Halloween. I was a smoking pope one year because I didn't have a costume. And there's
a band called the Smoking Pope.
There's a picture. I'll have to put the picture of me as the Smoking Pope on the cover art.
There's a band called the Smoking Popes, and they have a great song called Rubella. Rubella.
There's a picture of me and my dad. Like, he's like got his arm around me, and I'm like dressed up as a pope, and I'm smoking a cigar, and he's dressed up as William Wallace. And it was all church stuff. We didn't ever go trick or treating. I've never carved a pumpkin before. Although me and Kaylee are supposed to on Halloween.
It's more challenging. It's different to everybody.
So I was raised very similar to you, Dave, and I didn't do a lot of trick-or-treating or any of that stuff. But I, after my kids, you know, we were just like, I'm kind of in the latter, the third category now. It's like, I'm not Wiccan. I don't feel it anti-Christian. Let's just dress up and have candy.
Yeah. That's all I wanted. But mom, like, they would like always like have a section of the Reformation where they talked about how it was bad and how it's rooted in Satanism and all this stuff like that. And like,
well, you know, the pagan so many rituals. Things are rooted in paganism. Like the Christmas tree is pagan, and people don't understand that. And that's not why they have a Christmas tree. They don't have a Christmas tree because they're pagan. It's beautiful to behold. It's fun to do with your family. And that's
there's Star
like
Trek
Halloween.
Ornaments from Hallmark.
Yes, there are.
You have to have a Christmas tree because you need Star Trek ornaments.
A lot of, yeah, exactly. I need this.
Hallmark.com. They're not sponsoring us, but they should. Thank you, guys.
Right.
But yeah, you're right. So, I mean, I think most holidays, they slowly change. Things don't mean the same as they used to.
No.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of things that meant something different over 100, 200 years have completely changed their meaning, you know, and it doesn't mean you can't go back to those roots. You know, some people are really into the Christian aspect of like Christmas, but yeah, Holly, you're right. Christmas tree doesn't really have anything to do with it. In fact, they even say the date doesn't have anything to do with when Christ was born.
You know?
Right.
So, you know, it's just been changed over because this was
winter solstice.
Winter solstice, yep. Yeah.
So. It was a way for the Catholic Church to get pagans into the church.
There you go.
Yeah.
So, smoke
on
that,
Pope.
That's
what I have learned. But anyway, we're not talking about Christmas.
Pope.
But yeah, I enjoy Halloween, and I hope most people do because it's just fun. There's a lot of holidays I'm not crazy about. You know, I think Easter's boring.
I invented my spore drive shot around Halloween last year.
Nice.
Oh yeah, because you brought it to my party.
Yeah,
and everybody loved you at the time and hated you the next day.
David.
Well, it's because they drank too much. That's not my fault. I just was providing.
Yeah, it was.
So many people were asking for brain hemorrhages. That one girl had like 30 of them. I don't know how she was standing at the end.
30?
She wanted a bunch of them. I made so many for her specifically.
I don't want to say who you're talking about.
I don't. It was.
Let's not drop names.
I'm a social butterfly. I bebopped around that party like it was my job. It was my house, so it kind of was my job.
It was your job, but I don't know. There's this one girl. Like it was the one you remember. I was outside with Robbie and. We were talking, and then you came, and like someone looking for drinks. It was hers. It was the same girl because she wanted them all night long.
Yeah, I don't remember doing that?
She was drunk.
My house. I didn't have to drive. I don't remember that.
You were drunk. Yes, it's fine.
All right. Well, before we rehash our past
Halloween times,
past Halloween parties.
Hey, everyone wants to know about this. We party at Santa Halloween. Unfortunately, Aaron, you weren't there.
I don't party at all.
But you guys aren't doing anything for Halloween.
I'm just hanging out with Kaylee.
Aaron, you're taking the kids out.
We actually do have a party. We have a lot of the neighborhood parents and you know friends, the kids, and we all get pregame it, and then we go out and we get drunk while. To get kids go trick-or-treating.
I like it.
I want to go do that. That sounds fun. But no, me and Kaylee were going to carve pumpkins for my first time ever carving pumpkins on Halloween.
Well, I don't know if you work on Halloween.
I took it off specifically to hang out with Kaylee to do the pumpkin carving.
If you get done early, you can come and hang out with us.
Cool.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Well, we just, like I said, we just walk around the neighborhood and have drinks, and it's fun.
Cool.
That's cool. Yeah. See, like, I know we didn't really touch on what I did for Halloween when
what
I was growing up.
What did you do growing up?
So we don't celebrate Halloween, but I was allowed to go out when we moved to New York and I was like integrated into the public school system. I was allowed to go out on Halloween and hang out with my friends. I wasn't allowed to trick or treat.
Did we all grow up in super strict religious?
We did.
Did all three of us do that?
Yes and no. I was born in Reno, Nevada, where paganism is still very much alive.
All right.
So going out at night, let alone on Halloween, was not a good idea.
All right.
But we were both homeschooled, Holly.
I was.
Yes,
not.
Yes.
We're the Social Rejects Club here at Santa Holly.
I think I dressed up once. When I lived in Reno, and I was the Pink Ranger.
Did you shoot a man in Reno just to watch him die?
I wish.
Pink Ranger was hot. I love me some Pink Ranger.
But in high school, Halloween night was the run around town with your friends with cans of shaving cream in your cargo shorts pockets. And just beat the shit out of each other at, like...
With shaving cream, huh?
City Hall, the courtyard of City Hall. Yeah, with shaving cream and frozen eggs and terrible, terrible things happened.
Reno sounds like a terrible place.
It sounds like Games of New York kind of shit.
This was in New York.
Oh, this is New York.
This is New York? Oh. New York sounds like a terrible place.
Yeah, I got pegged with a frozen egg once. It was one of my brother's friends, and he felt so bad that he accidentally hit me instead of the person next to me that he took off running.
Wow. He knew you were going to kill him.
I was right next to him.
I'm going to die.
I'm going to die.
You're some people going to die?
Some people going to die.
But yeah, Halloween, I love to dress up. Any excuse to dress up, you know? I feel like people, it's funny because nowadays you have to have an excuse to represent your idol, like Comic-Con. You can't dress like Wonder Woman unless you're going to Comic-Con or it's Halloween or, you know, you can't dress like...
There's so many more cons, though.
Were you going to walk around Wonder Woman normally?
Hey, dress for the job you want, not the one you have.
There you go. I am Wonder Woman. Fuck you.
You should be empowered to do whatever you want. And that's, I mean...
Go to Batman.
No, I'm just going
to
dress as Wonder Woman. I'm Wonder Woman. Fuck you, man.
Like Wonder Woman. But, like, Wonder Woman's not, like, a good example for me. Like, my idols are, like... I guess I don't really have any idols. I
the American one.
Hmm?
American Idol?
The American one.
What did you say?
The American one. American. You said, I don't have any idols. I'm like, what about the American one?
American Idols.
American Idols. No. I just like genres, and I dress my genre. I mean, you guys saw me in basically mostly in my pajamas. Because you guys would come to my house,
sexy.
And I would be in basically pajamas. but I would,
they're so lacy and pink. No, I'm sorry.
I have a ton of corsets and
yes, you do.
Witchy skirts. Ouch. And witchy skirts and things. And I like biker boots and like, you should be empowered to just wear that.
You should just be Rowena.
Just be yourself.
Just be Rowena from Supernatural.
Did you see, Did you see the new Sabrina thing?
I've gotten through two episodes.
I haven't seen it yet.
I haven't watched it, but back when they were originally pitching it and saying it was going to be tied to Riverdale, I was super excited. But when they said it wasn't tied to Riverdale, it bummed me out. So I got lost my excitement for it. I haven't watched it yet.
I heard it's good, so.
I'm still watching season two of Glow.
I haven't watched any of Glow.
I love Glow. I think it's my guilty. I guess it's a guilty pleasure because it's like because I was talking to Kaylee about it and she's like, well, I don't even know why you like that. I'm like, it's like 80s nostalgia. I just love the 80s like weird nostalgia and like it's a fun show. I like the story and it's just like she's like, if it wasn't 80s, you'd probably hate it. I'm like, maybe, but I did like some college wrestling theater thing in school, so like, it's kind of fun watching that and like seeing how they learn. I'm like, oh yeah, that's how we learned. That's sure. It's very very interesting.
Sure.
I don't know. Reliving it sounds my past. Interesting.
I agree, Holly. I think you should be able to walk around and let your freak flag fly anytime you like and just be yourself. Don't let society, don't let the man bring you down.
Right.
Don't let the bastards grind you down.
Hey, I mean, Jericho Wilson, who's been on our show before in the past, she went to karaoke dressed as in TOS outfit. It wasn't Halloween. It wasn't anything. It was just karaoke. She dressed as TOS dress, and that's when I asked her to come on the show. And then she referenced us to her friend Natalie Schlittman, who also came on the show. I mean, some people do, and she's awesome. She went out and did that just to do karaoke and dress up. It was awesome.
I agree. I mean,
it makes you feel good.
It should. If you're confident enough to go and do those things and you have a support system of friends that aren't going to give you shit walking out, go ahead, do it. Be yourself. But do expect that you probably will get some comments.
Oh, of course. And that's the shitty thing. Like, especially, I mean, this doesn't need to get like political or anything, but like, especially now today, you know, with people are saying all this stuff about how you're stealing people's culture by representing them on Halloween. Mm-hmm. Like, it just makes me freaking angry. Because
Wakanda forever.
Well, Wakanda, the imaginary.
The imaginary culture.
It's just like, you know, if a little girl wants to be Moana because she loves her spunk.
Come on, that's
it's
too
not
cute.
Cultural appropriation. It's not. It's
dressing
that
up like
little
a movie
girl
character.
Has that princess on a pedestal.
Yeah, let's break it down.
Her.
Moana's different than me going out blackface. That's just rude and inconsiderate and shitty. But Moana is a little girl. Same thing with any. I mean, if a young girl wants a young girl of color wants to go out as Elsa or whatever, like let her do it.
Allowed.
Let her do it.
A fat girl play Princess Ariel, like, that's okay.
Do it. Have fun.
Or a little, like, there was this huge thing about two years ago, I think, where some skinny girl went to Comic-Con dressed as Ursula, and she got surrounded by a bunch of people and bullied for it. Like, get the fuck out of here. It's the same thing with Halloween. Like, it's, yeah, there are some people who dress up to make fun of things.
Yes, that's different. That's different.
If you're, you know, one of my favorite superheroes is Storm, and she's black. Okay,
Storm is pretty kick ass.
She's amazing, and I
love Storm with when she has the mohawk.
Do you know what happens with a toad who gets struck by lightning? Same thing that happens to everything else. Her worst line ever.
But like, I'm not gonna paint myself black and go out. I mean, I will dress up like Storm.
You should. Just
and like
yourself.
It's not
a cartoon.
Problem.
It's a comic book character.
Yeah,
yeah. You should be allowed to pay homage to the people who inspire you. And I don't think people realize that Halloween is not a gimmick. You know, a lot of people just want to dress up and represent something that inspires them or that they love.
I think,
and they can't go to just Comic-Con because they don't live near a nice big convention center.
I think as long as you're doing it in a respectful way, you're not being kind of shitty to any culture or trying to downplay or make it into some stupid stereotype that's not really about. So I think that's what's most important. And as long as you are not a dick.
Yeah, don't be a dick.
Don't be a dick. That's just a good motto in general. Don't be a dick.
Don't be a dick.
Yeah, either that should way. Be
set the Hulk slogan. Don't be a dick. and don't be a dick, Pecock. That's the most important thing. That's our new running joke.
Be Speaking of Easter, that's my favorite commercial, the Cadbury Egg Easter audition commercial. Do you guys know that commercial?
Is it? Oh, yes. is it the?
It's what you're doing. Yeah.
Bunnies holding auditions, and there's a cat with bunny ears on, and it goes meow, bark, meow. My favorite commercial ever.
That's a great one. I'm surprised I didn't do it for this episode, but there was the Mr. Rogers had the cat that would go like meow 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 meow. Never mind.
Now you've done it.
I like Mr. Rogers. I like the shirt I saw once that had him sitting on a chair with a Magnum across his leg and said, "Welcome to my hood."
My hood.
I really want the Mr. Rogers Magnum shirt.
Nice.
Find that for you.
That's awesome.
Well, anything else we want to say about Cat's Paw or any other weird Halloween shit?
We haven't talked about Cat's Paw in the last 30 minutes.
Yes. That subject been dropped, son.
No, I liked that Spock actually said Cat's Paw in the episode.
He did, yes. You're right.
That was McCoy.
That's cool.
Maybe one of them said it. Kirk didn't say it.
Kirk did not.
No, I think it was Spock.
Kirk was covering his wand.
Yes. Don't break it off.
Don't break off my wand.
Use the alien, you know.
Right. Alien.
Wow, chicka, wow, meow.
Wow, chicka, meow, meow. Hal, you're getting to be dirty. I like this. All right. Well, that's it for Cat's Paw and Halloween and animated Star Trek.
Yes, we hope you have a great Halloween. Be safe. Make sure you search your candy. Make sure there's no
Vulcan nugs in it.
So safe.
You get the Vulcan nugs.
If you find some Vulcan nugs, keep them for yourself.
You get the spooky nugs.
Or send them to Dave and Aaron.
Dave and Aaron.
Send us a private message and we will send you our address privately. We will not air that on the air.
Yes, right.
But if you want to email us, you can email us at sentthehollocks@yahoo.com. Although our music is provided by Warp 11 and Dave Wilkes. Warp 11 can be found online at warp11.com and Warp 11 on Twitter. On Twitter, you can find the show at Synthaholic Duo. I am at David_J_Duncan. Aaron is at Blackbird2004. And Holly is at Lunar Thistle.
And please go to Apple iTunes, rate and review us. Give us some nice love that way. And please go to Patreon.com/Synthaholics and throw us a little money if you enjoyed the show. A great way to support us is throw a buck a month. Not much to ask, just to help the show keep going. And if you can't do any of those two, a great way is word of mouth. While you're going trick-or-treating, let them know about Synthaholics.
Print out your own custom Synthaholics cards and just hand them out. Like, put them in the children's and give them to the children.
Trick-or-treating. Give them to children. You're like, what the fuck
is
this?
Here's a gift for you, and here's a gift for your daddy.
I'm going to give out Synthaholic cards. I'll be like, what the fuck is this shit?
Hey, don't just print out lots of cards.
Give fuck it, you, give old it, man!
Give it to them instead of candy.
They'll be throwing eggs at my house. I'll be spraying my house down with a power washer for
just,
a week.
Or just give it to them with... with the candy. Oh, like, one Synthaholics card. With it.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah, see? Yeah, that. See? You can represent Synthaholics love, although they've got very little time to do this idea as this episode comes out the day before Halloween.
We are too.
Right.
But you can do
it. But for next Halloween.
Yes, you can do it. Keep that in mind. I know you can do it, the listeners. Yeah, word of mouth, great way to let people know. But, happy Halloween, people.
Happy Halloween. We hope you had a spoopy month on Synthaholics, or at least the last 2 weeks. With Event Horizon,
yes,
and family, which is so frightening with a child death,
yes,
and what was that one we talked about? This one I can't remember.
I don't know. It doesn't matter.
It's bad. It was bad. Lots of bad episodes this month.
Yeah.
So we'll get to hopefully some more entertaining things next week. Something that we all kind of love, and we'll see you next time. Thank you for listening.
Bye.
Live long and prosper, one and all.
Before the night's over, I'll puke in a sink, and we'll cry till we laugh, and we'll both shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had.
I knew a little girl who, for some reason, could not say Halloween, and she always called it Hop-a-ween.
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 So now I always call it Hop-a-ween. Happy Hop-a-ween.
I know. It's a hard word. I love Halloween. Halloween's probably I don't know. I can't. Christmas is fun, but Christmas gets a little annoying sometimes. You know, it's just a little over beating over your head. Halloween's kind of sneaks up on you.
Well, the Christmas is beat over your head because it's the most lucrative and commercialized.
Sure, sure.
Well, hey, how are you?
Good. Did you catch the new Doctor Who?
No.
Oh, I haven't seen it either, so I don't know yet.
The Who Doctor New?
I mean, I've seen the first two episodes, but I didn't watch last week's or tonight's because it's on like right now.
Is it on right now?
Yeah, I think it airs at 10 your guys' time.
Hmm.
So, 7 my time. I don't know. I haven't set to record, so.
I mean, if that's what all the commercials.
What was the last guy's name? Anthony Caputo or something? What was this, the older guy before her?
Anthony. Capaldi.
Something like that. I didn't like him.
You did it.
I was trying to like him so hard, and I just was like, I don't know, it didn't do anything for me.
You know, I think, you know, I think Moffat wrote a lot of really good episodes, but I think that they really lost track and sight of like what was important there for a while. Like, it became all about Clara,
mm-hmm.
and it made it so that he couldn't shine, and a lot of it was earth-based, which is fine, but it was more about, less about space travel and stuff than more about, yeah, Clara. So it was hard to like his doctor, even though he had his shining moments.
I think
it was just written really kind of,
yeah, I agree. I mean I didn't watch all of them. I had to catch up with a lot of them, but Moffat has written a ton of great Doctor Who. I mean,
yeah,
you know, but Tennant was amazing. Matt Smith was amazing. And then mm-hmm. he came along. I was like,
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you look at it, like that's when after Matt is when they switched from it being the Doctor's story to the companion story.
Yeah.
And they argue that it's always been about the companions, but
it's a little bullshit.
Yeah, I call bullshit too.
Well, the Doctor is always mysterious, so you don't know everything about him.
Right.
But I mean, there's been a couple. I can't remember all their names right now, but there's been a couple companion stories through Tennant and Matt Smith that have been interesting.
Mm-hmm. That's just got to be really rough having your main character switch actor every couple of years. That's just got to be real tough on a show because, I mean, like, I don't know.
You know, you'd think so, but the way they've made the transitions now, it's expected. You know?
Yeah, it works.
And they make it as long as the actor's got some of that whimsical vibe that the Doctor's supposed to have. Then you're all right with it,
but I know it's expected, but it's just like you said, you just didn't like the old guy. It just you know,
I didn't.
It's got to be hard as a fan to enjoy it whenever they keep switching doctors, and then it's just like, oh, I don't like this one.
I'm super excited about the female doctor because this has never been done before, and she seems really fun. I haven't seen an episode yet, so I don't know.
I haven't seen any at all,
so I don't know.
I'm surprised and upset about the Battlestar Galactica.
No, Battlestar Galactica. No, there's a difference between the Battlestars.
Oh,
see,
I'm sure there is.
Here's my issue. And I'm going to get into it right now because this is my – I'm not saying the new Battlestar Galactica wasn't good. My issue was they were trying to get more viewership with male viewers by putting attractive, sexy ladies as the Cylons and change all
– But
yeah.
Sci-fi generally appeals to the male spectrum
It doesn't, not anymore. But still – but even when that was, early 2000s, I was like, this is – bullshit. This is bullshit. You're
pandering.
You're pandering to the lowest common denominator. I don't care if there's, you know, lead females in it. That's not my issue. It's that you're trying to be like, ooh, it's a sexy Battlestar Galactica. Now,
right?
Like you said, it's a well written show, and you can overlook a lot of it. But that
For the first two seasons, it's well written, then it falls apart.
Well, but I'm saying that's the reason why it works out. So.
Nope, I'll mute that. Sorry.
But anyways, that's just it. I mean, that was my issue with it. Yeah. But whatever. I mean, it has nothing. This doctor is not. They're not pandering to that. They're not saying. I know. They're not trying to be over sexualized with this doctor.
I'm just teasing.
Right.